Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It's important to note, if you've ever been a part of any kind of collaborative group, like, it's important to note that this experience of being in a saxophone trio, number one, as a parent, being in a musical group with your child, awesome. But there's something different about the times that we've spent in rehearsal. There's something, like, it feels different here in church than it felt when we were here last week rehearsing, or the times that we've rehearsed over at Amy's place, right? It feels different when it's this setting rather than when it's a rehearsal setting. And if you're someone who ever, like, prepares for things that take place in front of others, if you're an actor, if you're a musician, if you're someone who prepares, like, presentations for work settings, things like that, if you're an attorney, like, if you do any of the things where there's some preparation that takes place and then it, like, happens in front of people, you may have had that same experience where it feels different. The experience feels different. And that's my experience. I mean, you all know that I am extremely extroverted. No, I know. But even for somebody as extroverted as me, there's this different feeling when you're in that sense of community. And it's not just about, you know, everybody looking at you. There's a sense in the room. There's a spirit in the room. There's an energy in the room. With that in mind, and the idea of community in mind, I want to tell you about my week. Is that okay if I tell you about my week? Good. I saw some nodding heads, because frankly, I'm going to tell you anyway. So, this week was kind of a big week, but this week actually started several weeks ago. And here's how I mean that. I got an email a couple of weeks ago, and if you know me to be a born-again geek, then you understand why I was really excited to get an email from Tesla Motors. Right? You understand. I hear the laughter. So, I was excited, and here's what they said. The reason Tesla has my email address is because I really love the new Model 3 that they have, right? It's on the cheaper end of their, I still can't afford it, but it's on the cheaper end of their cars. I gave them my email address to get more information on it, right? So a few weeks ago, I got an email from Tesla Motors, and they said, well, you know, would you be interested in having an overnight test drive of a Tesla Model X or Model X? I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible. You can't say no to that. All right, it's not in the Bible, but I just couldn't bring myself to say no to that. And so I said, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what the email was. And so this last week, on Thursday afternoon, we got to pick up this amazing, like, this brilliant blue Tesla Model X. Now, if you're not sure which one is the Model X, it's the sort of SUV-looking one that has the gull-wing doors, right? The ones that go up sort of on the side like a wing, and it's just cool to watch. We picked it up Thursday afternoon. Cameron had his last band concert of middle school, so we took him to his concert in this beautiful car. It was a shame. Friday morning, we had to drive all the way out to La Mesa to get something. That was too bad to have to drive on the freeway using autopilot. Yeah, it was awesome. This car, you have the key in your pocket. Number one, the key's shaped like the car. You walk up to the car and it says, hello, let me open the door for you. It's unreal. I can't get my head around this car. I will never be able to afford one, ever. Now, sorry, just a quick aside. If you saw the news about the pastor who wants the $54 million plane, I'm not asking anyone to buy me a Tesla. I just want to be really clear about that. Please don't do that. Okay, all right. No. All right. So, but it was this great experience. We really loved it. It was a little heartbreaking to have to give it back. I kept dropping subtle hints that if they wanted to let us have it longer, that would be okay with us, but that didn't fly. Another experience this past week, I got new glasses. Now, I'm not telling you that to, like, I'm not fishing for compliments, but if you've ever gotten new glasses or new contacts, do you know how those first few days are where you can't quite see anymore? I'm still in that space, so if I fall off the platform, it's just blame my new glasses. Okay, that's the other thing that happened. And then the third thing I want to tell you about is, again, Cam, my oldest son, Cam, his band had a music competition up in Anaheim yesterday. Now, if you're having a music competition in Anaheim and they're having the awards ceremony at Disneyland, you have to spend the day at Disneyland. That's too bad. So Beth and I went. We were chaperones for the trip, and Zach, of course, came with us, and Cameron got to spend his day with his friends. We had, and then the awards ceremony that night. And there's a little bit of pride in this as I say that Pacific Beach Middle School not only earned superior ratings in both their orchestra and their concert band, they also won Best Overall Orchestra and Best Overall Concert Band. They were fantastic. And Cameron reminds me that this is the third year in a row. So, great music happening. There's one more thing that I want to highlight that's a little bit related to this because somebody mentioned this last service and she's not here this service. I was reminded, Ron Jesse, if you know Ron, Ron's been in Europe. He's been having a great time. If my math is right, they're in the air right now on the way back. But one of the things that this person highlighted is Ron has been, pun intended, instrumental in keeping music in our public schools, has been an incredible advocate for bringing quality people, quality musicians, quality teachers into San Diego as a county to keep music and the benefits of music in our public schools. Somebody, it was actually at the competition yesterday, somebody at the competition said a statistic. I haven't verified this statistic, so you're hearing this secondhand. If you look at SAT scores of students who have had music education and students who have not, just on a straight average, the SAT scores for students with music is dramatically higher than for students without music education. Ron Jesse has done an incredible job at bringing music and making it an important and a priority in public schools in San Diego County. And I will also highlight that a couple of folks who are active in this congregation are work at San Diego Unified School District, one of whom is Laura Williams, who's been our accompanist today. So thank you for what you do. Now, some of that tangent about music aside, that's all important stuff, but that's not really the point that I want to get to. The point that I want to get to is, like I told you about my week, and you all are gracious about giving me a microphone and 20 minutes to talk most weeks, but I got to tell you that, like, telling you about my week, it makes it different for me. Like, it makes it a little bit more real, and I wonder if you've had that experience where, like, you have that person or that group of people where if something happens in your life, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing or whatever, that person or that group of people where when you tell them about that thing that's happened in your life, like, it makes it different in some way. Maybe it makes it more real. Maybe if it's a good thing, it makes it like they get to celebrate with you and it makes this like this even better thing. Or maybe if it's not a great thing, maybe if it's a negative thing and you're sharing this negative thing with that one person or that group of people, it makes it a little more real for you. Maybe in a hard way, but ultimately in a way where you can manage it a little bit more efficiently, right? Have you had that experience where you have those people where like when you share something, like, that makes it real or deal with a bull or whatever. Do you have that experience? I hope that you do, because that's certainly the case for me. There are those people where when I tell them about something, like, there's a change. And I don't have words for that change. There's just a change. And one of the reasons I say that is because, like, being able to stand up here and just tell you about my week, and it's been a pretty incredible week, but it, like, there's a change for me, and I can't put words to that change, but there's a change in being able to share this with you. And part of why that's important is because this is my community of faith. And it's important in a community of faith to be able to have these relationships in such a way that we can say what's real and true about our lives. We can say what our experiences are. We can say what's been significant for us. We can say what's been wonderful for us, and we can say what's been horrible and hurtful for us. We can say these things, and it can be received in such a way that something happens, and it's something mysterious. If that is not a pure understanding of community, then I don't know what is. Like, that's how I experience that, is it's a pure sense of community. Now, as we explore community, I'd like for us, of course, to look at our sacred text. And we're going to hear a passage out of 1 Samuel. And this is the calling of Samuel. If you've, you know, been around churches for a while, you may know the story about Samuel. He's in the temple and he hears this mysterious voice and he doesn't know what it is and he has to sort of work all that out. And that's this story out of the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And we'll talk about how we can understand that, how we can talk about that, and how it can have an effect on our understanding of community today. So let's hear from Janita.
The Lord was rare at the time, and visions weren't widely known. One day, Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. God's lamp hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's chest was. The Lord called to Samuel. "I'm here," he said. Samuel hurried to Eli and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go lie down." So he did. Again, the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the Lord's words hadn't yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down where he'd been. The Lord came and stood there, calling just as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak. Your servant is listening."
Now, part of what I think that we can explore out of this is how Samuel responds. See, Samuel goes through a series of things, and I wonder if we can learn from this. So the first thing that it seems to me that Samuel does, even before he actually responds to this voice that's coming, he listens. It seems like a simple thing, but that's the first thing that he does, is he listens. He doesn't hear just a strange noise and he ignores it. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? I tell my kids that all the time. Sorry. But there's that difference, right? We know that. There's that difference between listening and hearing. Samuel doesn't just hear, he listens. Another way to think about that is he opens himself to the experience. He opens his heart, his mind, his ears to hear this voice. Now, he doesn't understand what it is. He thinks it's Eli calling, right? Eli is the priest in the temple. This is a time where there aren't any kings or anything like that in Israel. So there's a sort of a high priest. This is actually the transition between the time of the judges and the time of the kings, right? That's the time period we're talking about. But in this time, Eli is the priest. He's gotten sort of old. That's what it means when it says, you know, his eyes have begun to lose their vision. And Samuel is this sort of young child who's being raised in the temple, ultimately to fill that role, to fill a priestly role in the temple, right? So that's their relationship. And so as a mentor, Samuel goes to Eli, say, "Hey, you know, here's this experience." And that's the second thing. You see, he has a conversation. So first Samuel listens. He opens himself to an experience. And the second thing is he has a conversation. He in a way, he collaborates. He engages with his community. And then in doing so, in engaging with his community, and engaging with Eli, and hearing Eli's thoughts which, you know, sort of take a while to get through the progression. But ultimately what Eli says is, all right, here's what you do, and here's the things that you say. Eli understands what's going on. So Samuel is open to this conversation, this time of community, and in doing so, he is changed. And that's the third thing. He's transformed. He's changed. So this journey for Samuel in this story, he listens, he collaborates, and then he responds. Now, I think this is something that we likely have experienced. And if we haven't experienced it for ourselves, maybe in quite these terms, we might have an understanding of what this means. I want you to think of a time where something significant has happened for you and how maybe a good thing is first to open yourself to that experience. And then maybe to engage in conversation with others, with your trusted people, the people who, when you have when you tell people about an experience, that makes it somehow different, maybe in a mysterious way, that makes it important or makes it manageable, that you have those conversations, that you collaborate with your community. And then that third thing, you respond out of that situation. You make a decision about what you're going to do or how you're going to be or what you're going to think about those things. You respond. I think this is something that if we don't already do, that we can learn from, to listen, to collaborate, and to respond. Now, as I said, this is a time of conversation with the people who are sitting near you. And so I'd like for you now to turn and be ready to have some conversation with some of the people who are sitting around you. And just as an icebreaker question, here's what I want you to talk about. This first minute is this. Please share with the people you're sitting near you, like pick an item of clothing that you're wearing and talk about why you picked that. Maybe you're wearing a PBUMC t-shirt. Maybe you wore special shoes today. But just with the people around you, talk for just a minute about why you picked one particular item of clothing to wear today and have that conversation. And then we'll have another question. Sorry, just a quick thing for those who are worshiping with us online. If you want to comment on our Facebook page and our Facebook group or on Twitter, I'm going to keep an eye on all of those. So if you want to take a look at those, and I'll respond to those, especially if you're worshiping live. Talk amongst yourselves. So something wonderful about this congregation is all I asked you to talk about was an item of clothing, and already I'm having trouble getting you to stop talking. That's wonderful and beautiful, so keep it up. Here's the next thing I want you to add to your conversation. Share with your group of people that you're sitting with, share a significant something that's happened with you over the course of the last year, a significant event, a life event, a celebration, or maybe something not a celebration. Share something that's happened over the course of the last year that's been significant for you. And there's more that'll follow up on that. We'll continue to talk about these things, but add to it who you told about it. Like, if something, whatever significant happened, did you talk to somebody about it? And why did you talk to somebody about it? There we go. Did you talk to somebody about it? And why did you talk to somebody about it? That's right. And a reminder to those worshiping online, I'm still responding. All right, the third and last question is this. With that significant experience, when you shared it with someone, if you did, what did that change for you? Talk about what that changed for you. When you shared that experience with someone else, what did that change for you? Just another minute or two, and then we'll wrap it up. My friends, it is my hope that these conversations are meaningful for you. It is my hope that these conversations do not end now. I'm for now, but not permanently. You know, last week, if you were here last week we had conversations about, like, in what order were we born? Only child or first, middle, or last? We talked about favorite desserts, right? Today, we're talking about significant issues in our lives, significant circumstances in our lives, and how sharing those experiences in community makes a difference for us. This is truly a time that we can experience community in a way we can understand its effect on us. I think it's a good and helpful thing, for instance, that we share an online opportunity for people to worship. I think that can be a way for folks to check out what this community of faith is like. I think it's a good thing for folks who are traveling to be able to remain connected with this congregation. But I got to tell you, there's something about being in church together. There's something about, you know, greeting someone and checking in on something they said last week or on a prayer request that came in the previous week. There's something about having a conversation about, you know, do you remember that the words from that hymn last week, and here's what they meant for me, or maybe even the pastor said something important. But there's something about connecting with people in this way that I think it is the essence of community, and I think it is the presence of God. I think that when we do these things together, we worship together, we serve together, we learn together, when we do these things as community, I think that that is the essence of spirituality and of God. If you are someone who is in this place, as most of you are, great. Please help us maintain this sense of community, because I think it's important. If you're someone who joins us online in worship, great. Please consider joining present physically in community, because I think that you will find that this community is ratcheted up even more by being present and being in this place. I'd like to close our time just by inviting you to continue these conversations. Whether it's outside at our sort of social hour time, whether it's as we're outside cleaning up our neighborhood today, whether, you know, maybe it's next week when you come to church and you have an opportunity to see someone who was in that group that you're with today. Please, please continue these conversations. It is our purpose in this series to build this sense of community, and I think we're doing it. So thank you for your participation today. Friends, we continue in this spirit of prayer as we lift up prayers of this community. Just a reminder that when we are in a first Sunday of the month, when we celebrate Holy Communion, we conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer, but we won't speak it, we'll sing it. And if you're not familiar with how we sing the Lord's Prayer, don't worry, you'll be led through how that goes. Let's join in prayer. Holy God, as we are connected together, this community of faith, we share parts of ourselves. We share our soul. We share our thoughts. We share our emotions. We share our presence. We share our love. We share our fears. We share those things that hurt us and that drag us down. And in all of these ways, we continue to connect with one another. We continue to find strength and spirit. Indeed, oh God, we find community. We find a collection of those people in your creation who would remind us that you have connected us to be together. God, we lift up those who are affected by the sirens that just went by, that if care is needed, that care might be received. Holy God, we lift up all these things to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in song, as we sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us all. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our Father. who art in heaven.